Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 11 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelista here with Kyle Keegan, as always. How are you, Kyle?
I'm fine. We've had better sports weekends, but we've had worse, but definitely not great overall. I don't know.
Like, yeah, I can't say that I thoroughly enjoyed this past weekend in terms of sports, but it is what it is.
Yeah, we march forward, and we have a lot to talk about today. We'll start with baseball. We'll talk about the Giants and Jets. Don't you worry, because we have plenty to say. But Mets. Do you want to talk about the Mets or the Yankees first?
So let's start with the Mets Yankees, first.
Okay, we'll do Mets.
Okay, so with the Mets, I would say let's start with the Yankees, but I feel like we've got a lot more to talk about the Mets here.
We'll do the Mets first.
Yankees are in a pretty similar situation to where they were the last time we talked about them. The Mets, I had the glimmer of hope that they still might be able to make the playoffs, and I think that all pretty much got wiped away.
I think the Mets are screwed.
Is that again?
I was just saying I think the Mets are screwed.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Because, look, right now, our last pod episode, I was talking about how they need to win at least two out of the three at home against Atlanta.
And that was us being optimistic.
I predicted them to go 6-4 to end the season and kind of just miss a playoff spot but still be in it. Right now, so right after that episode, that day I believe it was, Mets played their first game against Atlanta and got absolutely demolished 15-2. And that's when I kind of figured, like, okay, it's over.
When I said that there was going to be some sort of, like, ridiculous over-the-top Metty loss, Friday was exactly what I was talking about.
So that was a fun segue into the rest of the series. And you know what? I had a bit of – maybe it was just, like, a fluke kind of game. I had a bit more hope going into it, into the second game.
They won Saturday, though.
They did win Saturday. They won 7-2, and I was like, okay, we're doing good. We're doing good. And then
– clutch hitting. And
then they get cut out 7-0.
Yeah. Really bad game Sunday. I mean, listen, like, I'll be frank. Like, that's not ideal. The Mets have to go 7-0 if they want a chance. They have to go 7-0 and have help.
And right now, so
– 6-1 is obviously a possibility to still make it, but, like, it's just very unlikely. Like, it has to be 7-0 plus help. They still have three teams to hop, and they have three teams against a very good first-place team, so.
So now the Mets have another home stretch. They play – Tampa at home for the next three games. That starts tonight. They play tonight, tomorrow, and then Wednesday. And then right after that, this weekend is the four-game stretch in Washington. They finish off their regular season, most likely their entire season, against the Nationals. I can't see it happening. I think that right now
– One thing I'll say before I let you continue, Jacob deGrom is pitching tonight. So
that is true. That is
don't
true.
Pitch today and Saturday or Sunday. So he's going to get two more starts. So that's what you want if you're a Mets fan. It might be a little too little too late. And as we know with the Mets, unfortunately, Jacob deGrom pitching is not two automatic wins, especially with the way they've been hitting and their consistency. So, it's not looking good. Steven Matz continues to be terrible. Porcello continues to be meh. But when the Mets win tonight – I bet you everyone's going to be right back to being all in. I mean, listen, like, I was hopeful about the Mets last week when we were talking about it. Now, not so much. I feel like they're screwed now. They have to hop way too many teams in too little time. Plus, they have to play well. There's no way all those things are going to happen.
See, I agree with that just solely because I had faith going into the Atlanta series that something might be able to happen where they might be able to, you know what, win two out of the three, be able to go on into Tampa or – at home playing Tampa with a lot of momentum. And I feel like even though it was just one loss that they lost 15-2, that just killed all momentum that they had. Because I think that in that situation, the Mets went into that game hoping for a win. They got absolutely routed, disappointed, and not to mention the fact that I think that that was a very big momentum swing where – you know what? I think
if they win three straight against three division rivals, that's a completely
be a lot
different
harder to win these finals
going into the rest of the weekend. So because
now, look, right now in the wild card, it's still Philly and Cincinnati. San Francisco got knocked out, and Milwaukee's right there as well. And then it's the Mets, I think, 2.5 games back of them. I can't see it happening. I think right now the Mets blew their shot. I think that if they were to come back from that 15-2 loss and win the next two, I think that they still might be able to have a much better shot. But right now, they're too far behind. They are the third team out of the playoffs. They're not even right behind it. So I can't see it happening. And I hope they prove me wrong, but I can't see it happening.
And the way you have to look at it here is, like, if the Mets do win their last seven games, they end up 31-29. And, like, is that enough? Like, Cincinnati right now is 27-27. And, like, are they going to – like, it comes down to the – like, are they going to lose two more games? Like,
we're nearing the point of the season. And I always see this with football just because there's a lot less games. But nearing the end of the season where in order to make a playoff spot, a team has to go through all these wild – situations and tiebreakers and that kind of thing where they have to hope for other teams to lose. And that's the worst spot to be in because you have to rely on play other than your own team.
And yeah, the Mets do not have the luxury of being able to control their own destiny. That's their own fault for sucking, but
yep. Best way to put it.
Yeah. The Mets aren't looking good. The Mets are seven games left. So DeGrom tonight, I mean, if they win tonight, I hate to be that guy, but, like, if they win tonight, you can't just, like, put a bow on it. Like, I mean,
look.
So it's DeGrom tonight, and then tomorrow night, I'm trying to look. Lugo. Okay. Well, I mean, this is a disappointing season for the Mets. Let's just say, even if they do make the playoffs on a miracle run at the end, like, in an 8-team playoff format, like, come on. You got to – with exactly. The talent on that roster, I get it, the injuries. I get it, all the yada, yada, yada. The Mets, they did what the Mets always do this year, and they had a lot of promise. And when the 8-team playoff was promised, I was very confident. I'm not a Mets fan, so, like, I don't have that pessimism about the team that, like, you guys have. But, like, I was confident they should be a top 8 team in the NL. Like, I mean, last year they started off so – they finished off so strong. I was like, oh, they're going to ride this momentum 60-game season. Edwin Diaz really set the tone. I know he hasn't had a terrible season, but if they win that second game and go 2-0, like, you never know.
Exactly. And, look, right now the Mets are in a playoff position where – they are three games back of a wild card spot. And then in front of them, instead of it just being a clear road to, okay, if Cincinnati doesn't play well and the Mets win all their games, it's an easy playoff spot. Right now they have the Brewers and the Giants directly in front of them. Not to mention the Rockies are pretty much the same exact record of them, just one less win, but they played one less game. So technically the Rockies are in the exact same spot as the Mets.
Man, the Rockies really fell off. They had a really good start to the year, and they just sucked.
They've gone 3-7 in their last 10 games, and that's just missed opportunities right there. But in front of the Mets, you got the Giants. The Giants beat Oakland 14-2 last night. And obviously that's not saying an immense amount, but still, that's if you're winning 14-2 against a team, that shows that you at least have some sort of something clicking.
I mean, the thing with the Mets is just like also – they have to play three games against a first-place team that's still trying to lock up the division. So the Rays have plenty of motivation heading into Citi Field tonight, these next three games, to just put the Yankees to bed, which they probably will, realistically. But, I mean, I know divisions matter less in this playoff format and it being in the bubble and all that, but, like, still, the Rays are going to want to lock up the AL East for the first time in, like, 10 years. And then Washington, who, like, they're not good, but, like, they have a decent roster, and, like, I'm sure they'd love to play spoiler and just they're still the defending champs, even though they're not going back to the playoffs. I mean, it's just not looking good for the Mets. The Mets, we had a lot of – or at least I had a lot of optimism about them going into this weekend, and then they kind of pooped the bet a little bit. They weren't good. So do you have anything else to say about the Mets before we go to the Yankees real quick and then football?
Pain.
Yeah. I mean, whenever our next episode is, we'll do a Mets season eulogy, probably. But it comes down to, like, I can think of a few games off the top of my head where the Mets season really could have shifted and it just didn't. First game that comes to mind, I already mentioned, second game of the year against the Braves. Diaz blows it. They blew a 5-run lead in Atlanta in the eighth. They blew that 5-run lead down to against the Yankees down to their last out a couple weeks ago. And, like, good teams, they should win those games, and those are three heart-wrenching losses. And obviously, aside from the fact that those are three games in the standings they get back, you never know what the butterfly effect can do to a team when you win big games like that and lose big games like that. So with that being said, the Mets need a miracle. So we'll go to the Yankees now. Yankees took 2 out of 3 from Boston. They lost yesterday, snapping their 10-game winning streak and their 12-game winning streak against the Red Sox. It is what it is. I can't really be too upset about that. They're comfortably in second place in the AL East. Right now they're fighting Minnesota for that 4 seed so that the wild card series can be played hopefully in the Bronx instead of in Minnesota. Right now the Twins have a 1-game lead. I wish I knew who had the tiebreaker, but I don't know how the tiebreaker goes. But I'm sure Yes Network will talk about that tonight.
Exactly.
But they have 4 games in Buffalo now against the Blue Jays to close out their road schedule for the season before 3 against the Marlins at home. So Michael King's pitching tonight for the Yankees to push Gerrit Cole back a day to have him ready for Game 1. So it'll be Gerrit Cole tomorrow, Tanaka the day after that. Maybe Clark Schmidt gets a start on Thursday, and then Garcia starts Friday, or Happ, or I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know who's going to be the Game 3 pitcher for the Yankees if it gets there. We'll talk more about that next week when we have the Yankees opponent and an actual preview. So, yeah, that'll be it for baseball. Hopefully the Yankees can just play over 500 baseball for the rest of the year, maybe snag that 4 spot, and
Before we end on that note, I just want to have – I have one question for you, Keegs.
Sure.
Now, when the Mets have their inevitable elimination happening, whether that be this week or their final game of the season, I'm going to need a team to root for in the playoffs. Now, should it be the Yankees? Do you think I should root for the Yankees in this playoff?
I feel like it'd be really fun if you – I wish – if the Mets made the playoffs this year, you know how fun it would have been for us to both talk about our teams playing in a playoff round, because – We all know the Giants and Jets aren't.
Hey, don't worry. We'll get that with the Jets and Giants.
We'll get there, but I feel like it'd be really fun. We've been thinking about having someone on, like, we don't know who or what, like, whatever, but, like, if the Yankees – if we wanted to do a series preview, maybe we could bring on a third person to talk Yankees with us. So, yeah. But I don't know. Maybe it'll be fun. We'll talk about it next week. We'll see who's playing. Also, next week, I need to try to pick a National League team that I want to go all the way, not because I just would want them to play the Yankees, but also because they're likable. We'll see. I have a week to figure that out. But
yeah, exactly. It'll be much more clear when the actual playoff teams are announced. And
yeah, right now, yeah, the Yankees did clinch their playoff spots. They're officially in, but no surprise there. 4th year in a row, 9th time in 12 years, and 22nd time in 26 years, which is just unbelievable. And 56th time in franchise history, which is the highest by far any major league team. So, say what you will, the Yankees continue to be successful. Hopefully they don't choke and disappoint me in the second or third round again this year, but I don't know. But more on that next week, because we had a big week of Giants and Jets football this weekend that, I'm sure we both have a lot of choice words for, our organization.
Oh boy.
So, take it away, Anthony. How was the
Jets? Words is an understatement.
Take it away.
I think that it's absolutely despicable to see what Adam Gase is doing to the Jets. And I say that because I believe that it is entirely 100% his fault. And I think that, yes, Sam Darnold could have played better in the most recent games.
You know, if Sam Darnold played all of his games in garbage time, he'd be the best quarterback in the league.
That is true. That is true. But I think right now that Sam Darnold, I'm losing hope in him. I think that he had a decent game last game, but even then, I think it was more Gase holding him back than himself. The fact that he has no weapons obviously doesn't help him, and the fact that his offensive line is trash doesn't help. But the Jets suck. It's as easy as that.
Yeah, and you said that last week too.
I'm going to be saying it a lot of weeks this season, because I think that this team is going to have its worst year since I don't even know when. I could see this team genuinely going 2-14, 3-13. I'm just hoping for a mid-season.
You said 7-9. Like,
I did say 7-9 weeks ago. I thought that the Jets had something going, and I don't have any faith in them anymore. I think that the fact that they were able to get not see if they were to lose to San Francisco last week, I would understand. I mean, San Francisco is a good
team. And by the way, they suffered a lot of injuries.
That's what I'm about to say.
And they're playing next week. And I'm not. Oh, sorry.
The Jets were playing San Francisco's JV team. That's the only way to put it. Every single skill position was hurt. You had Jimmy Garoppolo out for the second half. Raheem Mostert was out. They don't have Deebo Samuel. Nick Bosa, Solomon Thomas, Richard Sherman, all out. And they still get blown out of proportion. They literally had all their backups in. And the only time the Jets scored a touchdown was actually a really nice play by Sam Darnold. But it was a garbage time touchdown. It didn't mean anything.
I know a thing or two about Braxton Berrios just because of camp last year.
Yeah.
You remember that?
I actually don't, but.
No, it was in the whatever. I'll tell you about it later. It's a funny story from like we're reading off the teleprompter, and I said he scored a touchdown, but he didn't.
Just I love Braxton Berrios.
I'll let you finish. Stupid
stuff. He's just someone on the team that I could just look at and be like, you are the embodiment of disappointment. not really. I like him as a punt returner, and he's been getting a lot more reps at wide receiver just because of how thin we are. And he did catch that his first career touchdown yesterday, which I'm very happy for because he is a young guy. That's yeah. I mean,
for him, bright spot. Yay!
No, it's not a bright spot. There are no bright spots with the Jets team. Well, I mean, look, we went into the game with I went into the game per se with no hope. And that hope only diminished as the game went on. Because, you know, when you give up an 80-yard rushing touchdown on the very first play of the game, it's not something that makes
you feel I saw that on Fantasy, and I was like, what the hell happened?
I was watching the game with my dad, and on the kickoff, my dad's like, first play is going to be a touchdown. And he thought the kickoff was going to be a touchdown. I'm like, no. And my mom was like, did they score a touchdown? She was screaming from the kitchen. And I was like, nope, not yet. And then, lo and behold, next play, 5 seconds, 80-yard touchdown run by Raheem Mostert. So I think that the Jets played extremely sloppy. There wasn't the turnover game like it usually is. I don't think Sam Darnold threw any interceptions. I'm pretty sure
he didn't, actually.
So it wasn't a point of turning the ball over. They did fine with that.
It was just stale, dude. And I didn't watch any of the game because, obviously, the Giants played at the same time. But, dude, like, just stale, it looks like. And a lot of short passes, too. Like, 21 of 32 is not bad, but when you only throw for 179 yards, it's like, dude, air something out.
They didn't have any sort of run game, pass attack. They didn't have anything. And, obviously, it got a little hurt. Their pass game got a little hurt when Rashad Perriman went down. They don't have Jamison Crowder in the game, but it's insane. And then I'm going to say my least favorite point of the game. It was when the Jets are down 21-3 right before half. They're inside the 10-yard line, so it's fourth and goal now. And Adam Gase decides to go for a field goal. Now, going for a field goal does not do anything in this situation. You need momentum. It could have been an easy touchdown. And if you didn't get it, San Francisco would be most likely – I mean, I don't know with how bad this defense is, but San Francisco would most likely be forced to punt. If indeed the Jets didn't get it, it was just poor playmaking, poor decision making. And the one time that they tried for a fourth down is a fourth and one. One of the guards missed his block. So there's no bright spots on this team. And I don't know if you saw, I don't know if you follow KFC from Barstool.
I do. I love KFC.
He put something up where
it was damn Jets videos. I love those.
It's like he got out of a coma after 2 years. After the Jets 2018 week 17 lost.
I watched this, but I want to hear you tell the story.
And he was pretty much just going through like, okay, I just woke up from this 2 year coma. I get on this call with my buddy that's a Jets fan and I'm going through everything, hoping that it's a lot better because we were at such a low point there. And now it's 10 times worse because every bright spot that the Jets team had this past 2 years is now either gone, injured, out of the country, I don't know. I am so upset to be a Jets fan, and I feel like it's going to stay that way for at least another 3-4 years.
I mean, yeah, it seems to me like the Jets definitely have some soul-searching to do, as usual. It looks like they're going to be heading to another head coach after the season. I wouldn't be surprised. I know a thing or two about corrupt management. Trust me, but
I hope that we.
What's your opinion? Who's the Jets GM?
I like Joe Douglas. I think Joe Douglas has done a fine job of grabbing free agents, grabbing whatever. I think that his draft this year would be very good if everyone was able to play, but obviously injuries have kind of riddled this team. But regardless, I like Joe Douglas. I just think that Gase is the problem. I want him out before the bye week.
Okay. I think that's a valid call to his head. Obviously, we've seen the differences with Tannehill when he didn't have Adam Gase and how much better he's been in Tennessee. And
Devontae Parker.
Yeah, like there's just
Robbie
been so
Anderson
many guys.
Now.
Once you get away from that Gase defense, like I could see – look, Sam Darnold hasn't looked like anything special remotely at all in his early tenure with the Jets. He's had flashes of okay, pretty good, I would say, at best, but he's been inconsistent and definitely not the guy the Jets had hoped for when they drafted him third overall a few years back. But with that being said, with the proof is in the pudding with Joe with Adam Gase. It's just that like the dude doesn't really seem to know how to run an offense. And I feel this because Ben McAdoo was the Giants head coach a few years ago, and he ran that team straight into the ground. So, and it hasn't recovered since. So I think that the Jets definitely need some change head coaching wise. Definitely time. Who do the Jets have next week?
The Jets go into Indianapolis. No, that's – yes, they do. Okay, they go into Indianapolis week 3, then they play Denver.
Are they 2-0, Indianapolis? I think they are.
Indianapolis, are they 2-0? They won this week.
I'm pretty sure they're 2-0.
Colts. Yeah, no, they lost the first game to
I lied. They did.
Jacksonville.
Well, they won – yeah, they blew a lead against Jacksonville.
They did. I like Jacksonville this year. Gardner Minshew is one of my favorite players. But you know what? I don't like talking about the Jets, so let's go on to the other New York team. Maybe give me some sort of – I mean, I would say give me some sort of good news, but I know that there's
– I'm really no less – I'm less peppy about the Giants now than I was last week.
No, I wonder why.
I mean, when the Giants won last week – or lost last week, I was like, oh, whatever, better team, blah, blah, blah. The Giants sucked for 30 minutes, just straight up were terrible for 30 minutes against the Bears in the first half. And then they cock-teased everyone in the second half. And – this is now the seventh time or the eighth time in 9 years, I'm pretty sure, that the Giants have started off 0-2. I don't know who to blame anymore because we've gone through so many regimes since then, but that is absolutely unacceptable. Like, are you kidding me? That's terrible. Like, how do you start the season? Like, obviously, like 0-2 teams have gone on to win the Super Bowl before, but like, you can't go 0-2 every year, guys. Like, what are we doing? The offensive line was still bad. Daniel Jones was okay again. Would love to see him finally break out because I've seen him have 4 touchdown, 300-yard games. I'm wondering where that is. I guess he's played against 2 very good defenses so far, but, like, now they have the Niners next week and, like, then the Cowboys, and it's like – then the Rams and then the Cowboys, and it's like, well, what are we doing? Like, I don't understand how they can come out of this. The Giants are screwed. They needed to get at least one win in the first 2 weeks. I know. I said 7-9. I still don't think they'll end up like 3-13 or like 4-12 or anything really terrible like that. But like to start off 0-2 every year is such a deflating way to start every season. Like it's exhausting to watch.
I can imagine. I wonder who else has experienced that in this call.
Dude, it's just exhausting. Like, and then obviously the icing on the cake that we haven't even mentioned yet, Saquon Barkley out for the year with a torn ACL. Now, that sucks for so many reasons. One, I'm of the opinion that he is a top 3, top 2, if not 1, running back in the entire league. He played through an injury all of last year. Obviously, that's not his fault. I will defend to his death that he has gotten no blocking in his whole career as a New York Giant. And with that being said, I'm surprised I even have to say this, but I hope he never plays another down with the Giants. I hope they trade him and don't. You know, not because I don't like him, but because it's stupid to keep him around when we have no offensive line. So the running game is virtually non-existent. There's no reason to be running it through him. And he's out next year, and then the year after the next, he's a free agent. It's just like, maybe I'm being a little reactionary the day after.
I mean, you're being very selfless in terms of Saquon to just get rid of him that quickly, but
I feel like I'm probably being a little bit reactionary. I'll probably take that back at some point, but geez, like, I mean, they're 0-2. I'm trying to think of bright spots. James Bradberry and Blake Martinez have proven to be good signings. James
Bradberry had a good game yesterday.
He did, yeah. Another thing is that I think that Saquon being injured, if the Giants have another crappy year, I feel like they blame it on that, and it literally saved Dave Gettleman's job.
It will.
Like, it will literally save his job. And, like, I've been very on and off on my opinions about that dude, but, like, I mean, it says something when you're the second worst team since he's been picked up. Like, ever since he's been hired, they've been the second. They're the second worst team in that stretch. So I don't know what to say. It's hard to defend that guy because he's just hasn't really shown us anything yet. Like, he's gotten good players, but, like, he hasn't yet been able to put together a cohesive team that's good enough to succeed, or at the very least, be okay from what he's shown. Like, I get that these were two close losses and, like, against two less the Bears, but the Steelers are going to be a playoff team probably. It's just exhausting, man, year after year. And then next week, obviously, they have the Niners. Everyone's hurt on the Niners, but the Giants aren't going to win. The Niners B team's still better than the Giants. I don't know who's going to start at quarterback. The Giants' pass rush is okay. Their secondary is meh. I'll feel better about it once we get McKinney back and someone other than Ballantyne on the second corner, because he's terrible. He's so bad. But, yeah, 0-2 Giants, not really surprised. I was really hoping that – I predicted a win against the Steelers and a loss against the Bears, but – when they lost against the Steelers, I thought, like, oh, like, they won't go 0-2. Like, they needed to get a win if they wanted any chance at being slightly competitive this year in these first two games. Not at all. And now that they haven't, I really don't see any scenario in which the Giants can put together a decent season, which sucks, but I guess it's not that surprising because they do it every year. So, check back in on me once they start making progress. Who knows? Maybe they'll have a big game against the Niners. That's just me being – that's wishful thinking. That's overly optimistic. Like, just dumb. So,
now, who do you think out of the New York sports teams, New York football teams, who do you think is going to make the playoffs first? Jets or Giants?
I would say the Giants, because, like, I feel like they're closer. They have more better young players. Like, I think the Giants have more of a core, if you know what I mean. And Joe Judge is unproven. And right now, Adam Gase has been proven to be a bad head coach. But all it really takes is, like, the year before last year, the Niners went, like, 4-12. So, really, anything can happen. Like,
that is true. But, like, they also had a
flip year on a dime any year with any given player. So, I don't know. Like, I feel like for both teams, they're still, like, maybe 1 or 2 years away. But
Yeah, I don't know. I think that the Jets are going to take a lot more than 1 or 2 years. But that's just me personally not having any faith in my team.
I mean, the Jets haven't been to the play. The Jets have gone through so much, like, regime changes. Like, I feel like the Giants just tried beating the same dead horse for so long, and then they finally realized that it wasn't working. And then they found a new dead horse, and they started beating that one even harder. So it's pretty tough. Like, for other than the Super Bowl, the Giants were, like, one of the worst teams in the 2010s. So, and nothing has changed so far.
Other than a Super Bowl is a very big other, Kyle.
Yeah, but it was early in the decade.
Imagine having a Super Bowl in this decade or – millennial.
The Giants are the only football team to have won a Super Bowl in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, and 2010s. So, like,
wow, I really shouldn't. Aren't you cool? Yeah. God.
I shouldn't be crying that much, but, like,
I said millennial, I meant century. But the Jets have not won a Super Bowl in 51 years.
Or I mean, all I'm asking for is just some consistency. Like, so bad.
I don't think it's getting any better for either of us anytime soon. Obviously, we could always hope for the best. Hopefully, something.
But the happens. Knicks, though.
No.
I mean, dude, I already know me and you are getting hyped for the Knicks next year.
Yep. Gonna go, what, 11th seed in the East?
We're not. Whatever. we don't need to talk about the Knicks. Speaking of basketball, though, just real quick, it's 2-1 Heat. So my Heat in 7 prediction is looking pretty spicy right now.
I think Reno
and Stan both predicted their teams in 6, right?
I think yes, and then I'm pretty sure I said Heat in 6, Heat in 7.
Okay, well, they have a long break between games. Their last game was 2 days ago, and their next game is 2 days from now. So
really?
I guess they didn't want to compete with Monday Night Football, but
– wow, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, isn't that weird? That's a weird schedule. Also, because they were like a full 2 games ahead in the schedule than the Lakers and Nuggets. So I guess they wanted to have game 3 of Lakers Nuggets tomorrow so that they could have game 4 of the East the day after. But also with the East, it's 2-0. It's 2-0 – or the West, it's 2-0 LeBron. I don't know. I like LeBron James. I kind of hope he wins another ring. So
I don't know. I'm rooting for the Heat this year, but I wouldn't be upset if the Lakers won.
Yeah, I have the Lakers in 5 for that series. I said that at the beginning, and I don't know. I mean, it might be in 4. Like, I don't know. We'll see. Anthony Davis with a clutch shot last night, dude. I'm sure you saw a replay of that somewhere.
Yeah, I did. And then he mouthed the word Kobe right after.
That was epic. That was really cool to see. That was very cool.
Unfortunately, we are going to end episode 11 right here. Before we leave, I'm just going to plug our socials real quick. If you want to follow me on Instagram, it's at AnthonyEvangelista7. Twitter is at AnthonyEV7. For the Big Apple Sports Media Instagram and Twitter, it's just Big Apple Sports Media on Instagram and Big Apple SP Media on Twitter. You, Keith.
Okay, so on Instagram and Twitter, I'm at Kyle Keegan, but the L is a 1, Kai1E Keegan. And also, just one for housekeeping real quick. We don't know exactly when our next episode is going to be because we don't know if we're going to really have enough to do all baseball for like Thursday or Friday or whenever we do it. So maybe it'll be like Sunday after football. But regardless, we have a lot coming up with baseball. We'll have Yankees playoffs off of a miracle. Hopefully Mets playoffs, but probably not. And then, yeah, there's no New York teams in the NBA Finals or Stanley Cup Finals or either of those. But I'm sure we'll touch on that a little bit too. But this crazy sports stretch is coming down the stretch now, man. I mean, baseball, basketball, and hockey are all about to be over. And so after that, we'll have to switch up the content a little bit. But
focus mainly on football, which will be fun for me.
Yeah, fun for both of us. Go exactly. Giants, go Jets. But yeah, all right.
All right, well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Keegs. Kai1E Keegan. And yeah. I shall see you for the next episode. To all you, thank you for listening. See you next time.
Thanks, guys.